You said that you also started at a radio station at college. Is that right?
I went to a small college in Los Angeles. I was studying fine art and photography and also music. And I got a job. I don't know why or how. When I was in university, I was also doing a radio show once a week for 1 or 2 years, about 1.5, 2 years. And it's how I learned a lot about music. And I was starting to become interested in music for films, as well as, you know, other kinds of music. And so I would invite composers to be on my show to interview. But really, that's a little bit was how I was really my education a little bit. I was spying on them. I was listening and learning about how they did it. And it was very helpful. Before I made the decision to maybe do it myself, I got to meet these people, and I liked them. They were good people.
Let's focus on Sharkwater, because you created the whole soundtrack. Did you work together with Rob Stewart? And so how was it to work together with him?
Yes, I worked with Rob for months. I did 2 movies with him and a couple of little short films as well. But Sharkwater is a documentary from 2007, and so 10 years ago. I had done a couple other documentary films, but I'd done some other things, and somebody played him some of my music, some of my electronic music, and Rob is a big fan of electronic music, what he listens to all the time, and because he goes to raves, and he goes to all these electronic festivals and Burning Man, and he's very big on electronic music, EDM and trance and ambient music. He loves ambient music. And actually, that was really the approach of the music for Sharkwater, was to do ambient electronic music to begin, but then the story of the movie gets more intense, and eventually he's being chased by gunboats, and so the music had to do other things. So there's a variety of music that I wrote for this film, but this really was my first exposure to one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. And really, I can say that this movie and this director changed my life forever. We became very close friends. He was living in Toronto, Canada. I was living in Los Angeles. He would come to me, and we would spend days together working on music, and he was very demanding. We had to rewrite a lot of things. The thing about this director, Rob Stewart, is when he made Sharkwater, he was 24 years old. He had worked on it for many, many years. It took him 5 years to make this movie. I never met anybody who really dedicated their life to only doing one thing. And his one thing was to save the ocean. But what he would say is that he wasn't interested in saving sharks. He was interested in saving humans. Because we're all connected. The whole planet is connected. And the thing that's so easy to forget is that once you destroy one thing, that destroys another thing, and that destroys another thing, and eventually it's going to destroy us. And Rob knew that. He grew up learning to swim and dive and go on vacations to little islands, and he was attracted to sharks, you know? Most little kids are attracted to dinosaurs. Everybody loves dinosaurs. He loves sharks, which they go back to earlier than the dinosaurs. It's the oldest living species on the planet. So Rob had this love, truly a love, with one type of animal, an animal that nobody else loves, because everybody thinks of sharks, they think of Jaws, they think of people getting bitten. He wanted to make a movie that was just beautiful images of sharks. He became a photographer, and he became a cinematographer, and he made this movie. But in making this movie, he discovered that the sharks were missing. That there was parts of the ocean that he would go to, and he'd see them, and he'd come back a year later, and they'd be gone. Yeah, and he wanted to know why. And suddenly it became this other documentary, and found out what was going on, which is that shark fins, just the fin of the shark, is one of the most profitable things on the planet. I think the only thing more profitable is heroin. Shark fins, some people go out in a boat, they catch a shark, they cut off the fins, they throw the shark back in the water, it drowns because it can't swim. And then that shark fin travels around the world. It usually starts in the South Pacific, and it ends in Asia, because they have all these beliefs about what shark fins are. And it's like, it's a form of organized crime. The movie went from being just pretty shots of sharks with pretty music to being a movie about him discovering this horrible, horrible situation and finding out that there are 15,000 sharks get killed every hour of every day of the year. And it's been going on a long time. And that we've lost 90% of all the sharks in the world. And the sharks are what control the balance of life in the ocean. And the ocean is where all the oxygen comes from. 70% of the oxygen on the planet starts in the ocean. And you ruin the ocean, it's going to come back. So after we finished this movie, we did another movie also about the ocean. And we became closer friends. And he moved to Los Angeles because he needed to be closer to some filmmakers and some other people, and he had friends here. I've never met anybody whose life was really dedicated to just doing one thing. But you know what? He actually changed the world a little bit before he died this year. He drowned in a very unexpected accident due to a malfunction of some equipment that he was renting that wasn't his own equipment while he was working on his third movie called Sharkwater Extinction. I'm so grateful for this 10-year relationship, this 10-year friendship, this opportunity to do a little bit of good in the world. And it's somebody who's a musician. The idea that a little bit of my music made a little bit of a difference, you know, in the world. But so many people know this movie. He was able to get some very famous people in Asia to talk about it. This movie was able to get, I think, 12 countries to create laws to ban shark fins from coming in or out of the country.
Well, are you also, so did you decide to work with him together because you also care about nature, the ocean, sharks?
Ever since I was in university, and it's been a long time now, I became a vegetarian. You know, I don't eat anything that comes out of the ocean, just like I don't eat anything that walks or flies or swims. But I didn't know anything about this topic of sharks and that they really control the ecology in the ocean, which affects all the plankton and affects all of the seaweed and everything that creates oxygen for the planet. I didn't know anything about it till I met this guy. And, you know, when somebody said, you know, hey, how would you like to do a movie about sharks? I didn't even know what that meant. It didn't occur to me that these were animals that they don't want to eat people. They bite people under very specific circumstances. And you know this, but most people don't know that almost all of the shark bites are close to land where they think that you're a different kind of an animal. They don't like the taste of people. They don't like the taste of wetsuits, you know. It's always an experiment. Whenever a shark bites, they always swim away because they're scared. And what Rob Stewart, the director of Sharkwater, discovered was that even the most fierce sharks are so scared of people. When he swims out in the ocean, there is not one single species of shark, not a great white shark, not a hammerhead shark, that in any way has any interest in being aggressive. Sharks are not aggressive animals, but when they come close to humans under certain circumstances, like if somebody throws bait, if somebody throws dead fish in the water, the sharks go a little crazy. That's just their nature. And if you get in the way, you're in trouble. And if you're sitting on a surfboard, they look up and they think maybe you're an otter or a seal or some kind of, you know, tasty furry animal. And they very much want to eat you, but they're not sure. They're smart. They know that you're not, but you might be. So they take a little nip to see what happens. And sometimes those nips are very devastating. There are so few shark bites, and maybe there's only one or two people a year who die from sharks, and it's always under unusual circumstances. So, you know, the question you asked me is, you know, how did this change things for me? And the answer is I met one of the most passionate people I've ever met. I met one of the most focused people I ever met. I met one of the most talented people I've ever met. And, you know, somebody who I respected and admired more than almost anybody I've ever met. And then I got to be part of this movie, which is 10 years later, it's still an important movie.
How did it look like to work with him together? So how do you work as a composer? Do you first see the scenes which are already filmed and then decide, oh, okay, I could create this music or that music? Or do you already have do you use music you already have? So how does it look like?
When I start a movie, the movie is usually mostly finished. So I may see the movie beginning to end, but there could still be scenes missing and scenes that will be taken out later because they decide they don't want them. So I come when the movie is already very far along in progress, and then the director or the producer will say, we would like you to do some music, and here's what we're thinking. This is a thriller, or this is a love story, or this is a comedy, or this is whatever they're looking for. And I'll say, well, do you have an idea about the music? Do you want an orchestra? Do you want guitars? Do you want synthesizers? Is there music that you like? Is there music you don't like? Through a conversation of just getting to know people, we start at the beginning, which is to do a little sketching, to go in black and white before we add the color. I don't take a scene from the movie or the part of the game and just say, here, I'm going to score it. What I do is I sit and I might write 5 or 6 or 7 ideas, but they're not with any scene in mind. They're not with any character in mind. It's just my feeling about the project and what I think might work musically. And I might try something a little more this and something a little more that. I bring it back and I say, let me play you some ideas. And they go, hey, I like that and I like that. That doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel right. But, and that one, I'm not sure, but maybe. So, okay, we'll start with that. And then I'll take some of that and we'll try it in a scene. The idea gets more and more. It's like turning the camera into focus. You know, you turn the lens and it starts off, you can see, you know, how light it is, but you don't see what the image is. And then there's the image. And then you begin and you start with some main idea, some main theme. It could be a melody. It could be more of like a sound. It could be kind of just an attitude, an approach. And then you do the hard work. And the hard work is you start at the beginning and you go until you're finished.
One last question. What is your favorite soundtrack?
Okay, maybe West Side Story. It's a movie I've seen. I've lost count of how many times I've seen it. And every time I am amazed by it and I cry. So maybe that's my favorite.